Our scripture lesson for today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, and you will find it on page 3 in the Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. God said, "I command the oceans to be full of living creatures, and I command birds to fly above the earth." So God made the giant sea monsters and all the living creatures that swim in the ocean. He also made every kind of bird. God looked at what he had done, and it was good. Then he gave the living creatures his blessing. He told the ocean creatures to live everywhere in the ocean, and the birds to live everywhere on earth. Evening came, and then morning, and that was the fifth day. God said, "I command the earth to give life to all kinds of tame animals, wild animals, and reptiles." And that's what happened. God made every one of them. Then he looked at what he had done, and it was good. God said, "Now we will make humans, and they will be like us. We will let them rule the fish, the birds, and the other living creatures." So God created humans to be like himself, and he made men and women. God gave them his blessing and said, "Have a lot of children. Fill the earth with people and bring it under your control. Rule over the fish in the ocean, the birds in the sky, and every animal on the earth. I have provided all kinds of fruit and grain for you to eat. And I have given the green plants as food for everything else that breathes. These will be food for animals, both wild and tame, and for birds." God looked at what he had done. All of it was very good. Evening came, and then morning. That was the sixth day.
Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I pray once again that these words will first be acceptable to you, and where they're not, that you will do whatever you can to just put them into our lives, drawing us closer to you and to each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to say a word that you might not like to hear. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it anyway. And so I want you to kind of brace yourself, okay? Just get ready for the word. Are you ready? The word is stewardship. I told you. I just had to put it right out there and just to let you know. And so to get rid of some of the bad vibes that I know stewardship brings, I just want you to shake a little bit. Okay, shake out. Just go ahead and shake. Nobody's going to care. Just shake out all the bad vibes that you might have when you think about stewardship. There, that's right. Keep on shaking. Now, I want you to say after me, stewardship. Do we have to? Say it again. Do we have to? Say this, stewardship. Oh, no. And now, if you really want to do this, let's boo and hiss stewardship a little bit. Boo. Hiss. You kind of feel better now after doing that stuff? Good. Now, this might come as a shock to some of you, but actually, stewardship is a pretty good word. And it is a word that we shouldn't avoid talking about. In fact, if you think about it, we are all stewards. How about saying that with me? We are all stewards. Are you a steward? Yes. Am I a steward? Are we all stewards? Yes. Several times a month, this Mexican boy would cross over the U.S. border. And each time he would ride a bicycle, and then he'd have two sandbags slung over his shoulder. And that's how he would cross the border. And of course, the border guards were always suspicious when they saw him, because they suspected that he was smuggling some contraband in those two sandbags. And so the border guards would grab him and they'd make him dump out that sand, and then they'd go through that sand with a fine-tooth comb, but they could never find anything, never. And they would let the boy cross into the U.S. Into the U.S. Well, one day, one of the border guards, he saw the boy in a restaurant and he started talking to him. And he convinced the boy, with the help of a $20 bill, to tell him what it was that he was smuggling. And he said, "I promise I won't press any charges against you." And so the boy agreed. And the boy said, "I am smuggling bicycles. I'm smuggling bicycles into this country." That story reminds me of stewardship. You know that? In stewardship, we often miss the main point. Too often, money is the first and only thing that comes to our mind when we think or hear that word, isn't it? In fact, if I mention the word stewardship now, I can just see some of you kind of squirming around a little bit, moving in your seat, and some of you are even looking, where is the nearest exit, aren't you? Well, contrary to what you might be thinking, money is only a small part of stewardship. Stewardship is a lot more. Stewardship actually is about our hearts and our relationship with God and God's created world. Today I'm starting a three-part series that I'm calling The Spirit of Stewardship. And during these next three weekends, or these three Sundays, we'll be talking about being stewards of God's creation. We'll talk about being stewards of our time and talents. And then finally, we'll be talking about being stewards of God's resources that we've been given. But before I do that, I'd like to reread our passage today from Genesis, just to make sure we're on the same page. And as I read it, I want you to try to listen for the stewardship theme, to see if you hear a stewardship theme in this passage. And I'm going to start with verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.'" Do you hear that stewardship theme? It goes on. "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.' God said, 'See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all earth, and every tree that with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Did you hear that stewardship theme in those passages? The Bible is pretty clear, isn't it? We are stewards, period. We are in charge. We are responsible to God for plants and animals, for the bees and the birds, for the air we breathe, and the water we drink. If not us, if we're not responsible, who is then? I heard a stewardship's message last week. It goes like this. A man was praying to God one night and he prayed, "Lord, if I had some extra money, I would give it to you. But things are pretty tight right now and I need all the money I have for my family and for, you know, a man has to have some fun too. I need it all." And later on he prayed, "Lord, if I had some extra time, I would give it to you, but I'm a pretty busy guy. I have my family and I have my job, and you know, there's some things that I like doing too that I just can't give up. And so later on he said, Lord, if I had some extra talents, if I had a talent or two, I would give them to you too. But I'm not a very talented person. There isn't much I can do. I'm really sorry. Well, God heard this man's prayers, and God had compassion on him. And so what God did was this. God gave him some extra money, and God gave him some extra time, and God gave him some talents that he hadn't had before. And then God sat back and waited and waited and waited. And the man did nothing with the extra money, the extra time, or his talents that God had given them. And so after a while, God took them all back. And later on, God heard this man pray. Lord, he said, if I had some extra money, I'd give it to you. Lord, if I had some extra time, I'd give that to you. And Lord, if I had a talent or two, I'd give that to you. And God said, oh, be quiet. I'm not sure if God would have said that. The point is this. You and I, we have right now, right here, all we need to be good stewards. The better question, the bigger question for us is this. Do we want to be good stewards? Are we willing to be good stewards? It's a choice that each one of us has to make. In Psalms 24, verse 1, the psalmist says this about God's creation. The earth is the Lord's, in all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. And then from Psalms 104, verses 10 through 13, we hear these words about God's creation. You, meaning God, make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. The Bible is full of stewardship passages, and they all say the same thing, don't they? God made it. God made it and put us in charge. This may come as a newsflash to some of us, but we don't own this world, not even our own little corners of this world. It belongs to God, and I'm not even sure if God cares about our deeds and mortgages. When we leave this world, everything will still belong to God. In Leviticus, God put it this way, "The land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners here." Another way of saying the very same thing is this, you and I, we are guests here, and we're not owners. William Sloan Coffin, a preacher in the 19th century, I think he was right when he said, a new doctrine of stewardship is needed today to replace our old doctrines of ownership. So from our own backyards to the badlands of western North Dakota, from the air we breathe, to the water we drink, to the energy we consume, to the cars we drive, we are responsible to God, period. We are stewards. Now, whether we're good stewards or not, that's entirely up to us. I give you the responsibility, God tells us in the Bible. My world is your world. Use it, God says, enjoy it, but take care of it. Make it better and not worse. It's going to have to last a long, long time. Tony and Harvey were really good friends, and they had been friends for years, but they haven't seen each other in a long, long time. And Tony lived in Seattle, and Harvey was on a farm in North Dakota. One time, Harvey decided to travel out to Seattle to see his friend Tony, and Tony was glad to see him. And when Harvey got there, Tony started showing him the sights of Seattle. He took him to the very top of the Space Needle. Now, Harvey had never seen anything like that before, although one time he had climbed to the top of his silo and he'd fixed a hole there, but that's another story. Tony took him to a concert and to some museums, to the Pacific Science Center, to a baseball game, all that sort of thing. And then Tony took Harvey to one of his favorite Seattle spots, and that's the Pike Street Market. Anybody ever been there, Pike Street Market? A few of you, right. It's a busy place, isn't it? It's kind of wall-to-wall people. I suppose it depends on when you're there, but usually it's wall-to-wall people. You have some people are playing music and some people are reading poetry. People are buying things and they're selling things. And you got kids running around laughing and playing and having a good time. Like I said, it's a noisy and busy place. Well, Harvey was fascinated. He had never seen anything like Pike Street Market in North Dakota. But as they were walking around, suddenly old Harvey, he stopped. And he said to Tony, "Listen." "Listen to what?" Tony said. And he said, "I can't hear a thing with all this noise." And then Harvey said again, "Listen." And then Harvey kind of looked around and he said, "It's a cricket." And Tony laughed and he said, "A cricket? Are you crazy?" He said, I can't hear a cricket and all this noise. Besides, he said, "I've never ever seen a cricket in Seattle before. There's no cricket." And then Harvey, he kind of bent down to a nearby planter that was standing right there. And then he reached down and he picked up a cricket in his hand. And he said, "See, it's a cricket." And then he gently and carefully put the cricket back in the planter again. "That's amazing," Tony said. "How in the world did you do that?" And Harvey said, "People hear what they want to hear." And then Harvey reached into his pocket and pulled 3/4 out, and he dropped them right smack dab in the middle of Pike Street Market. Right in the middle of all the hustle and bustle, the noise, the screaming, the busyness, everything. Plunk, 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 they fell on the ground. And then an interesting thing happened. Can you guess? The music stopped, and the kids stopped running around and laughing, and the people, they stopped being busy and noisy, and they all looked down to the ground where the quarters were. "See," Harvey said, "people hear what they want to hear. People hear what's important to them." Stewardship, stewardship, stewardship. It's our job. From the oldest of us to the youngest. From the very richest of us to the poorest. It's whom God wants us to be. In fact, you might even say, it's why we're here. We are all stewards. Now, whether we're good stewards or not so good stewards, that's up to us, isn't it? Amen.